Okay, let's open our Bibles, Mark 10, and go to verse 35, Mark 10, 35. Now, you remember 2 weeks ago, hopefully, that as we read through this, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he's not just going to Jerusalem to visit friends or relatives or do some sightseeing or eat at a nice restaurant or go to a water park or something like that. He's going there to go to the cross. He set his face resolutely toward Jerusalem. That's where he's going. Now, disciples are following behind, and they're amazed, and they're also fearful. They knew this is dangerous. This is going to be hard. And then Jesus stops, and he actually even tells them in great detail what's going to happen to him. He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be beaten. He's all of those things, and he's going to die, and he's going to be raised from the dead. And I wonder how I would have responded to that. I would like to think that if I walked with Jesus and saw Jesus and lived with Jesus and witnessed his miracles, man, I would be a powerful, faith-filled, I've got your back, Lord, person all the time. Except that's not what people did. That's not even what his disciples did. And it intrigues me as I read Mark's gospel, as we pick up this, what is the response of the disciples to heading to Jerusalem and Jesus telling them what's going to happen to him? Have you ever talked to someone where you are bearing your soul to them and it's almost like they're not listening? And they want to talk about themselves instead of listening to you. Can you kind of get the feeling that's what these disciples are doing? Because what we find in the disciples here is they've been walking with Jesus now for nearly 3 years, but they are still so immature. They're like toddlers stumbling along. They say they understand. They repeat back the right words. I mean, you can get a three-year-old, you can get them to copycat words that you say, but they can't define them. They can't explain them. They can't use them in context. They don't understand the situation you're talking about. They're barely figuring out, maybe by the age of three, kind of what tomorrow means or next week. They don't know exactly what it means, but they're starting to figure out it means a period of time. And they don't know how to measure it or what to do with it, but they're kind of parroting you. That's where the disciples are. And thankfully, the Lord knows that. He understands all of that about you and about me and even about his disciples. Should they have been farther along? Yeah, I think they should have, but they weren't. And the Lord understands that, and he knows that, and he knows us as well. And I've got on here on the title that aging is inevitable. All you have to do is look in the mirror or go back and have you ever been shocked when you look at pictures and you thought you looked pretty good that day? Then you see a picture of yourself that very day and you go, good night, I'm getting old. Those things happen. It just happens to all of us. But maturity is something we ought to strive for, because you've known, like I have, some people that were, oh, they may have been 21 and they're legal for everything, but they're just 21-year-old babies or 50-year-old babies. Or 80-year-old babies. Maturity is a completely different matter. And I want you today to make the choice that you, as a follower of Christ, are going to become a mature follower of Christ. That you're going to get tired of being immature, of being a baby. And we're going to look at some aspects of immaturity in the lives of the disciples. And we're going to see it. The Lord is so good to preserve in his word even the flaws of some of our heroes. We're going to read here about disciples that are later going to be powerful people. One of them is going to be the first martyr. He dies for his faith at the sword of Herod. Another one's going to be on the Isle of Patmos at the age of about 93, seeing all of the visions in the apocalypse in the book of Revelation. It's going to be amazing. These are miracle workers. These are people who spread the gospel. But boy, not right now. Not right now. These little toddlers can say the right thing and every once in a while get it right, but they don't understand it. And they can't really explain it because they're not capable of it yet. Oh, may the Lord deliver us from being stuck in immaturity for the rest of our Christian lives. There's too much at stake, too much to learn, too much the Lord wants to do through you. We need to be soldiers, not babies. So let's begin to read. In response to the Lord's prophecy about his death, burial, and resurrection, and the horrors of that, then it says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, they came to him saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Okay, be honest. Who has not had that same thought? I wish God would do everything I wanted him to do. I wish other people would do everything I wanted them to do. That's pretty normal. It's not right, but it's normal. Can you imagine saying that to Jesus right after he says, I'm getting ready to die for your sins? Okay, that's nice, Lord, but we want you to do what we ask. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? Okay, we want you to use us to spread the gospel to sinful people all over the world and to expend our lives for your glory. Now, they said to him, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory. That's not all bad. Okay, that's not all bad. Because at least it is saying they did understand he's the king. They did understand he's going to rule and reign. They did understand he was going to have glory. That's better than a lot of people do. A lot of people can't even see that. They at least saw that. But it is bad that they interject themselves on there. We want to be your closest advisors, and we want to share in that glory and be on the platform in the spotlight when you're on your throne. Yeah, that's bad. But at least they got part of it, right? The Bible goes on to say, but Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask. I think there have been times when you and I have prayed and the Lord would say that same thing. You don't understand what you're asking. Thank God for some unanswered prayers. Amen? But Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be submerged or immersed or baptized with the baptism that I am being baptized with? And he's talking about his suffering. And they said to him, we are able. Well, those are famous last words, aren't they? So Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink. You're going to share in it. And with the baptism that I'm baptized with, you will be baptized. Meaning you're going to be submerged into the suffering and the cost and even the death that I've been placed into. And I thought about this, just reading these few verses of Scripture, and I thought about how important it is when we are walking with God for us to grow up and to get a mature perspective. Now, what I'm going to talk about today, every parent of a toddler or even of a teenager will know exactly what I'm saying here because you've dealt with these same things. It's been interesting having grandkids, especially grandkids that are so young. I've eaten some meals that they've prepared. There's a little kitchen, and they go in there, and they, Big G, you hungry? Yeah, I'm hungry. What can I have? Mac and cheese. That seems to be the favorite. And so they come in, and you watch them, and in their minds, they are doing everything they've seen their mama or daddy or grandmama do, and they're doing it all. And they use the wrong pan, the wrong utensils, and they, you know, do all kinds of stuff. It's a good thing there's nothing really in those pans, right? But they do it all, and in their mind, they're doing it just like they've seen grown-ups do. Now, if the Lord operated like we want him to operate, you know what would happen? We would take those little grandkids of mine, 2 and 3 year olds, and we would say, you know what? Don't use this little plastic thing. There's a real stove in here, and they're real. Why don't you make Big G some real macaroni and cheese? Can you imagine turning Micaiah or Maverick or Molly loose in the kitchen with a real live stove and hot water and real food and all of that? Because in their minds, they're capable. In their minds, they're doing everything you do. But you and I both know it would be disaster. And how many times in our lives do we read about the things in the Scripture? Oh, I would like to do that. And in our minds, we're fully capable of it. And the Lord is so good and so kind and so wonderful and so loving. He says, not now, son. Not now, daughter. You're not ready. You're not ready. You're not ready. But you will be one of these days. You will be. And what do you do at that point? Sometimes when you take little kids and they say, I want to use the real stove. And you go, no, you're not ready for that. When they say, I want to drive the real car. No, drive your little toy car and do that. No, I want to drive the real one. Sometimes they yell. Sometimes they kick. Sometimes they pout. Sometimes they cry. Sometimes they walk off in a huff and they don't want to do anything. Have you ever seen any of God's children act like that? Have you ever acted like that? If I can't do what I want to do when I want to do it, then I just won't do anything. I'll quit tithing. I'll show God. I'll quit going to church. I'll show God. I'll quit reading my Bible. I'll show Him. After all, what good does it do? And you don't understand. You're a child. He's the Father. He loves you. And there are just some things He's not going to let you do because you're going to get hurt and you're going to hurt other people. But there'll come a time. Just wait and just be patient. Because aging is inevitable. You're going to grow older. You're growing older even as we sit here. But maturity is an option. You choose to act mature. You choose to do that. I think about those people that go to war for us. And I think about D-Day. And I think about those young men, 18, 19, 20-ish, that are on those landing crafts, and their orders are storm the beach, and they know that they're going to be walking into a hail of machine gun fire, right? What is it that makes them get out of that landing craft, jump into that water, and continue running forward even when their comrades are falling all around them, when the water is tinged a reddish color from all of the blood there on Omaha Beach in France? What keeps them going? There's a choice that they make. This is not a game. This is not basic training. This is not playing guns and stuff like that in the backyard. This is for real. I've got to do what I'm supposed to do. I've got to follow orders. I've got to live up to my training. And I've got to be willing to sacrifice everything that I am, even my very life, for the freedoms of others. And that's what's made this country work for so many years. The people that were willing to do that, they stepped up and said, I'll no longer be a boy, I'll be a man. I'll no longer be a kid, I'm going to be an adult. I'm going to take on adult responsibilities. This is for keeps, this is for life or death. And there comes a certain point in your Christian life where it becomes no longer a game, but it is a war. It becomes no longer something to where it's a casual little, I'll do it if it feels right, and if I don't have a headache, and if everything's cool. It comes up to where you take your armor, and you put it on, and you become a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you stand up for Jesus amid the battle fray. There just comes a point where you just have to do what Paul said. You put away childish things, and you become an adult. You grow up. Well, as I look through this, and I notice some marks of immaturity, let me just share them with you. You'll see them. And number one, immaturity seeks to control. When I am with my grandchildren, and I don't mean any disrespect, they're just being what they are, but you know what? They tell me where to sit. They tell me what we're going to play. If I suggest something they don't want to do, they don't hesitate a bit to tell me no and then to change what we're going to do. It's the nature of a human being to try to control things. We all want to be sovereign. We all want to be the king. We all want to be the Lord. We all want to be in control. And if other people would just think like I think and do what I want them to do and value what I want them to value, boy, the world would be a great place. Except it doesn't work that way because everybody thinks the same way, and there are wars and skirmishes and battles and fights and broken relationships, all that come up because people want their own way. They want to control other people. It's the nature of a child to want their own way, to want to control their parents, to want to control their friends, to want to control the classroom, to want to control the agenda of everything that goes on. That's what happened. That's why when you were a child, you got disappointed when you said, this is what I want for Christmas, and you didn't get it. You wanted to be in control even of your Christmas presents. All of these things are the life that we have, and that sometimes it doesn't go away. There are a lot of adults who spend their lives controlling other people, manipulating other people, guilting other people, shaming other people in order to get their own way. And I've never understood why they don't feel bad about it when they get their way until I realized all that matters is they got their own way. That's all they care about. That is a mark of immaturity. And that's what James and John, Lord, we want you to do whatever. Well, who wouldn't want that kind of a deal? Except it doesn't work that way. God's wise, powerful, all-knowing, and He's the one who is the king. He is the one who calls the shots. That's immaturity. And if you're that kind of person to where you're trying to control other people, you want everything to be done your way, then you need to grow up. Life doesn't work that way, even in the kingdom of God. Secondly, you notice that when James and John tell him, we want you to do whatever we want, then this next thing is, he says, what do you want me to do for you? And they say, when you come into your kingdom, which is correct, when you're in your glory, which is correct, now let us sit at your right hand and your left hand. We want to be in the position of power. We want to be known and associated as we're somebody. We're right up here by the king. Now it's interesting that immature people want their own glory. They get upset. They get offended if they're not recognized. They get offended if you don't react to what they do in a certain way, because they're like little children. Little children, the watch cry of them is, watch me, come watch me do this. Did you see what I did? And there are some adults who are still that same way. Whatever you do for another person, you want to make sure they recognize you. You notice that nobody noticed, as my father-in-law used to say. You're the one who thinks you do have some personal rights, and you do deserve to be recognized, and you do things for the praise of men. You know how I know that? Because when people don't recognize you or act the way you want them to act or thank you, you quit. What's the point in doing it? Nobody notices it. Charlie Brown said one time, working here is like wetting your pants in a dark suit. It gives you a nice warm feeling, but nobody notices. All right? And some people in the church, if they don't get a certain reaction, they don't sing anymore. They don't serve anymore. They pout. They're done with it because they really want a little share of the glory. And James and John are not saying we want all the glory. We just want our fair share of it. And of course, we know as we read the Bible, you don't deserve any of the glory that comes your way. This is a very selfish thing. And when you find yourself doing things to be noticed, making sure that somebody notices because you tell them what you did, and you just almost can't stand the fact that they didn't know that you did something for them. Well, I'm the one that told that person about you. Well, I'm the one that recommended you for that. Well, I'm the one that made this happen. And it always comes back to you. That is not the mark of a mature Christian. That is a mark of a baby. That's a mark of immaturity. Now, let me say something I meant to say at the very beginning. If you are a baby Christian, it's perfectly fine for you to be immature. But if you've been a Christian for some time and you're still acting like a baby, there's no excuse for that. Okay? So if you're a young believer and you haven't been saved very long, some of these things you're going to see in your own life, I hope you see them and I hope you strive to overcome them. But it's okay to be a baby if you really are a baby. It's not okay to be childish when you're an adult. The third thing that I noticed here is that immaturity is ignorant of its own ignorance. When Jesus says, I'm getting ready to drink a cup that's going to be a bitter cup. And I'm going to be baptized, or maybe a better word for us, because we always think of the religious context of that. When Jesus used the word baptized here, he's just using the Greek word meaning to be submerged. I'm about to be submerged in suffering, in pain, in rejection, betrayal, all of those things. Think of what Jesus went through in his trial, in his arrest. Think about what Jesus went through when he was scourged, beaten within an inch of his life, literally. Think of what it was like when they plucked out his beard, when they would spit upon his face. Think about what it was like to be mocked. I mean, you and I, we have trouble when other people don't even recognize us, much less when they're slapping us in the face and mocking us, and when there's physical pain and torture involved. They tortured Jesus at his trial. Read about it sometime. Then he's nailed to a cross, and he's nailed to a cross, stripped of all of his clothing. Think of the shame of that, and his own mother is there. Think of the people that are mocking him, even the thieves, while he's on the cross. And Jesus said, are you able to jump into that pond? Are you able to be into that body of water, the water of suffering, the water of pain and agony and rejection, betrayal and death? You able to do that? Because you see, those who are immature, when they look at this, they have no idea what they're talking about here. And so they, say, well, what's the big deal? Only going to last a few hours, isn't it? What is the cup you're going to drink? What is the baptism? Isaiah 51:17 says, wake yourself, stand up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath. You know, when Jesus said, let this cup pass from me, I don't believe he was saying, oh, I would rather not go to the cross. That's why he came. You know what he's saying? Let the cup of your wrath. I don't want to always and forever be under the wrath of God. He drank the cup of the wrath of God that you deserved. He was praying for the cup to empty, for the time to pass, praying for resurrection. When all of that was done and over with, what he was doing for you, because it was a horrible thing. And you know what? I don't understand the agony that Jesus went through. I can kind of grasp the fact that it must have been physically very torturous, but when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you know there's never been a time in my 58 years where God has ever turned his back on me? Never been a time when God has ever abandoned me. I've never been kicked out of the family. I've never been the object of his wrath. I can't understand that. And yet that's what Jesus did for me. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, do you really know what you're asking? Because before you can ever take the throne, before you can ever gain the crown, you've got to walk the path of the cross. Still true today. You've got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after him. And the rewards come later. Do you understand what you're asking? Do you understand what I'm getting ready to go through? And when I find the next thing that they say, it's kind of astounding. They don't even shrink back. But they say with the arrogance and overconfidence of immaturity, we are able, because immaturity overestimates its abilities. Like a little kid thinking that because he puts on a Superman cape, he can fly. You ever known a little kid that did that? I know of an 8-year-old kid that put on a Superman cape and jumped off the roof. It hurt because he couldn't, but he thought he could. And so many times, just like little children thinking, I'm capable of driving a car just like you do. I know what to do. Just watch them. Just listen to them. I know how to cook in the kitchen just like you do. We do the same thing. We're so quick to say, yeah, I can do that. Oh, yeah, I'm willing. Oh, that's not that big a deal. We downplay it, and we don't really understand what's going on, and we overestimate our own abilities. We are able. There have been times when you prayed for things where you said, Lord, I need this, I want this, I can handle this, and I promise it'll all be for your glory. And it wasn't 5 minutes after you got it that you sinned with it, that you forgot about what you had prayed about. I heard a story about some people that were asking the preacher, would you please put in your prayer book the name of my child? He's wandered from God. He's doing all kinds of ungodly things. And we pray that he would come back. And so the pastor said, sure, I would. And he did it and began to pray fervently. They had a revival meeting. And the first night of the revival, that wayward boy came walking down the aisle. The pastor was so thrilled that that boy was coming down. And he said, this is John. And he's coming down here to make his life right with God and to rededicate his life to the Lord. And all there were tears, and the parents were happy and everything was great until the pastor said something else. And he's also coming saying that he has surrendered his life to foreign missions tonight as well. The next day he got a call from the mother. Oh, pastor, you've got to help us. Why? Our son is about to throw his life away by being a missionary. Do you know how many, you ought to pray for Isaac. Do you know how many times people, they say, oh, we want you to do some things, Isaac, that'll get our kid interested in church, keep them in church. And if that kid ever got right with God and said, I'm surrendering my life to foreign missions, you would be mad at Isaac. We didn't want him to surrender his life to the mission field. We just wanted our daughter not to get pregnant or our kid to stay off drugs and alcohol. We wanted him just to stay in church. We didn't want him to really get serious and throw their life away by ministry. I mean, it's funny the way we think about things. Oh, Lord, you can have it all. Oh, wait a minute. What did you do? No. Don't do that. Don't do that. And the Lord knows best, because we're too immature to really understand those things. And we overestimate our own abilities. We don't even know how to pray as we ought to pray. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. And then fifthly, notice that immaturity cannot fathom the reality of hardship. Yeah, we're able. And Jesus began to describe those things. The disciples didn't get it. In fact, how well were they equipped for all of this? Jesus gets arrested, and what do the disciples do? They run. They scatter. They hide. Peter denies. All of those things are happening. Why? Because they said, we are able, and they didn't know what they were talking about. You know, some people say stupid things sometimes. I won't mention any names or situations, but standing right back there by those back section of chairs one time, several years ago, quite a few years ago, I was talking to one of our members that was going through chemotherapy. How many of you have been through chemotherapy? Say amen. Some of you understand. This person was weak, they were sick, and they had lost weight. And another church member, a lady, came up while I was talking to them and heard this person say, yeah, I've lost 35 pounds. And this lady, a member of our church, she said, well, maybe I need to get cancer and go through chemotherapy. I need to lose 30 pounds. Only time in my life I've ever really wanted to slap a woman. For the glory of God and on behalf of that other person. Boy, that hurt. You know why? Because we glibly say some things that we don't understand the depth of what the other person has gone through until we go through it. You see, there's going to come a time when James and John, they would understand what it meant to drink that cup, what it meant to be baptized with that baptism. But right now, they didn't really get it. And some of you, you look around and you say, oh, you lost your spouse, did you? Shouldn't you be over with it by now? Until you lose your spouse. Then the whole world is supposed to stop. It's the nature of us, isn't it? There are sometimes I've heard people that have said things to someone who lost a child, and they pat them and they say something like this, sometimes buy the casket. Well, at least you're young enough to have more. Can you imagine? Don't say stupid things. Folks, keep your mouth shut. It's better to say nothing than to say something painful. I heard a preacher say that all things work together for good. We all know that. But you have no right to say praise the Lord at a funeral unless it's your loved one in the casket. You see what he was saying there? Sometimes we say these glib, cliche things and we don't even know what they're going through because we haven't experienced. That is a mark of immaturity. A child doesn't really, your boo-boo is bad, but my boo-boo, oh my goodness, look how I'm crying over it. The world's coming to an end, right? We don't understand. And James and John couldn't understand either. We are able. Yeah, you are. You see, these are the marks of immaturity. Have you ever seen anybody like that in the church? Have you ever seen anybody like that in a Sunday school class? Have you ever seen anybody like that get their feelings hurt at the drop of a hat? You've ever seen anybody that always wants recognition and they get mad if they don't get it? Have you ever seen anyone that seems to serve like that and be glib about other people's problems? Well, I know you've got problems, but your problems are nothing like mine. Have you ever seen anybody like that? Maybe you've been that type of person. You know what God does? He takes you through some trials to get that out of you and to grow you up. Because you see, immaturity is all of those things, but maturity is different. When you're mature, you put on the armor, you become a soldier. You see, maturity does something else. It controls in order to liberate. See, you control your children, not so you can have your way. You control them so that you can teach them and so you can set them free one of these days. And that's what we do. We do it for the benefit of others. If God's given you authority on the job or authority in the home or authority in the church, you use that authority for the benefit of other people to liberate them, not to squelch them or hold them down. Notice here that maturity also seeks the exaltation of others. Not personal exaltation. I want to lift you up. I want to build you up if I'm mature. I want you to be everything you can be. That's what parents do for their children. Number three, notice that maturity is humble, teachable, and it listens. If you've gotten to the point you no longer can listen to anybody and you don't think anybody has anything to teach you, you're a baby and you don't even know it. And you're the worst kind of baby because you don't know it. You see, people that are mature are humble and they are teachable. and they listen to other people. They hear what they say, and they learn the nuances of it, and they feel it, and they get it. They don't just glibly listen and say, yeah, okay, God bless you, I'll pray for you, and then walk off and forget about it. That's the mark of a child. You're selfish and self-centered, and you can't get past yourself. No wonder God's not answering your prayers or using you. You're a baby, and you would use it for your own destructive purposes instead of for His glory. Number four, maturity admits limitations. You know what you can do, you know what you can't do. You don't have this thing, I can do anything that I want to do. You know where you're weak, you know where you're strong. You know where you're gifted, you know where you're not gifted. You know where it is that God wants you to work and where He doesn't want you to work. Because we're members of the body, and hands can't do things that eyes do. Ears can't do things that feet do. We all have our purpose, and we all have our gifting, and we all have also our limitations. We can do all things through Christ, but it's whatever His will is for us to do, and He equips us to do that. And then lastly, notice that maturity gains empathy through experience. God puts us through storms and trials and pains and struggles. Why? Because He wants us to grow up, and He wants us to use our scars to minister to other people. He wants to take our pain and turn it into our passion so that we minister out of that, out of our understanding, out of our hurt, out of the things that we have been through, and we can touch other people's lives and help them and encourage them. So I say to you today, what are you? A child? Are you an adult? Are you a child that is simply just being a baby wandering around putting everything you find in your mouth? Are you a baby that has to be cleaned up by everybody else, has to be coddled by everybody else, has to be pampered by everybody else? Or are you an adult that can actually fight a battle and win? Are you an adult that can endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Are you an adult that can confess that God is good all the time, even if it seems like He's killing me? I know His purposes are good and kind and pure, and I know that He is the victor. And going back to what I said at the very beginning, remember, aging is inevitable. Maturity is optional. I just leave you with these verses to prove that point. Ephesians 4:14, Paul says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the cunning craftiness of the deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things, into Him who is the head, which is Christ. You say, well, isn't that automatic? Well, apparently not, because the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 5:12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Boy, you better do it if you're going to grow up. See, a little child can't tell the difference between what's real and what's fake. You had better be able to do that, because you have an enemy and you have false prophets who are more than willing to fake you out in the things of God. And if you're not mature, you're going to fall for it. And if you're not mature, you're going to let other people fall for it instead of being there to protect them and to guard them. So what's it going to be? It's not just a matter of age. You're not mature because you're 80 and you've been in the church for 60 years. You're not mature because you know a lot or because you know the deep things of God. I've heard people say, well, I know the doctrine of election. I'm deep in the things of God. No, you're not. Somebody else chewed it up and swallowed it and nursed it to you. When a little baby nurses at its mother's breast, that baby is actually eating whatever the mother ate. But the mother is processing it. And some of you, you haven't really grown because somebody else is doing all the chewing and all the processing, and you're just getting it in milk form, but you think you are so deep, and that's why you fall so quickly and why you panic so quickly and why you crumble and wilt so quickly. And again, if you're a baby Christian, that's okay. You're supposed to do that. But if you're supposed to be a mature Christian, you ought to be cutting your own steak. You ought to be getting your own food. You ought to be able to take that and to grow and to feed other people. The Great Commission is not just make sure people in Africa hear about the gospel. It's this: teaching them to obey all things that I've commanded you. If you're not doing that and you're not passing it on and you're not reproducing, you're not fulfilling the Great Commission. Why? Because you're not mature enough to do that. Aging is inevitable. You only have so much time on earth. Maturity is a choice. Choose to be mature and do like Paul and put away childish things. Quit acting like a spoiled brat baby and grow up and put on your armor for the glory of God. Can anybody say amen to that? Because every one of us knows somebody. We're thinking, boy, I wish they would do that. Quit thinking about them. It's you. It's you. It's you that I'm talking to. And may God speak to your heart by His precious Holy Spirit on the authority of His Word. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me, please? Oh, Father, that we might grow. To grow into maturity. Not to stay selfish. Not to overestimate our own strengths. Not to be the people that try to control others and want to have our own glory. But, oh Lord, to be humble and teachable, to be mature, to be a good example, to care about other people. And not just to care about them in the ways that are comfortable to us, but to walk through valleys so that they can follow, to dig wells in the valleys so that they can drink, to lay down our lives for your glory and for the sake of other people. Oh Lord, we need to grow up. We need to grow up. And we're so much like the disciples, please forgive us. Save those that are lost. Grow those that are truly babes in Christ. And help the rest of us to choose maturity today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.